Chapter 8. Adam. The radio demon was still thrashing as Adam dragged him onto the steps of his mansion. The estate was massive and beautiful. Adam had wanted something palatial, yet classy, and in heaven, you got what you wanted, every time. It was white and gold, with a neoclassical design, including pillars that supported the front door entryway, and many evenly spaced, gold-trimmed windows on every floor. It sported an extensive courtyard, covered in statues of Adam. One of him, front and center of the garden, was him, standing tall in his angelic form, axe guitar held high in triumph. Another, him as a much older man, hugging his sons, Abel and Cain. Finally, the one depicting his early life was nestled near the collection of trees where he would practice guitar, depicted him petting a horse. He remembered naming them. Naming all the animals, really. He remembered every single one, but horses were some of his favorite. He could still recall in graphic detail when he had been mortal, and thrown himself onto the beast's back, and how exhilarating it had been to ride, with the wind in his face, the laugh free and easy on his lips, and Eve cheering him on. But before those troublesome emotions threatened to bring tears to his eyes, he turned away and focused on his mansion, and dragging the complaining Alistair towards the front gate.
"Why are you doing this? I mean, we have nothing in common, and whatever Lilith can do to a man, I never was interested in learning such filthy talents."
Wait. You don't think this is some weird sex thing, do you?"
Adam asked, raising an eyebrow.
"Is it not?"
Alistair asked, his struggles becoming momentarily less intense. Adam stared for a moment in disgust, then gagged.
Ew, that's fucking disgusting,
Adam said, trying to get the mental image of him and the radio demon being intimate together out of his head.
"I do not swing that way, dude,"
he stated, shuddering in revulsion.
"Well, then why the fuck am I here? You aren't planning to kill me. You aren't planning to rape me. What other purpose can I serve?"
Alistair asked.
"I'm a demon. I do not belong in this place. Everything about it just irks me."
"What do you mean?"
the angel asked, sounding somewhat offended.
"This whole fucking place. It's a monument to your vanity,"
the radio demon said with disdain.
"I mean, statues of yourself. A whole estate to your own. This gaudy fucking mansion. It's ridiculous. Isn't being humble and modest supposed to be some kind of virtue up here?"
"You're one to talk, considering you tried to fight me alone without any angelic weapons. I mean, you guys totally knew that you need those to kill angels. Why didn't you bring one? You were really arrogant enough to think you could fight me without it?"
"Fuck you," the radio demon spat, but Adam just shrugged.
"Anyway, if you must know, it's like I told Lilith. She wants you back in her clutches. I want to piss her off, so I took you, so she couldn't,"
Adam explained.
"If there's anything I can do to spite that bitch, I'm doing it. No questions asked."
Alistair stared, not daring to believe it.
"You are keeping me here to spite your ex?"
Alistair asked.
"Really? That's it? You can't be serious."
"You've been in hell too long, Allie,"
Adam said, ignoring the searing glare that the radio demon shot at him at the use of the nickname.
"Most people in heaven aren't as perverse as the kind of degenerate you're used to hanging out with. Besides, you look gross. No offense."
Before Alistair could reply, Adam gripped the doorknob of his home.
"Now, check it,"
he said, throwing his door open. The angel smiled with satisfaction as Alistair's eyes widened. His door opened into a wide hallway, the picture of a man's fondest dream. On the walls there were swords and axes, maces and spears, and even a few guns. They were from every part of the world and every age of history. Next to them were paintings and pictures of humanity's greatest achievements. The Eiffel Tower, the Colosseum, a rocket in mid-takeoff, the Statue of Liberty, the Wright brothers' first flight, a photo of the International Space Station, Notre Dame, the first automobile, Big Ben, just to name a few. As he walked down the hall, Adam admired more paintings, these ones depicting humanity's martial struggles over the years. There was one that showed the glittering winged lancers of John III charging into a horde of screaming Arabian warriors under the walls of Vienna, saving the divine blessed city from certain doom in its darkest hour. Another depicted Teutonic knights in a snowy forest, thundering with lances dipped, mounted on heavy destriers, into a host of roaring Lithuanians. The pagans opposing them stood strong, shields up and axes high, roaring in defiance as they met the mortal servants of the divine powers. One of his favorites showed Emperor Constantine of Rome, frozen in action, sword raised high as he charged with his army, Cairo resplendent on their shields, into the ranks of the pretenders fleeing forces on the banks of the Tiber. It always made Adam feel warm inside to think of all these great and holy people whom had all come from his loins. All the great things they'd built, the empires they'd founded, the stories they'd woven with their deeds. It reminded him that he'd done good. Whenever he began to feel the pain of his past begin to weigh on him, he looked at these paintings and pictures, and he felt better.
"What is all this?"
Alistair asked, snapping Adam out of his thoughts. He didn't answer for a moment.
"My legacy," he said finally, barely above a whisper.
The smell of steak wafting down the hall snapped the first man out of his thoughts and centered him in the here and now with its delicious allure.
"Adam, is that you? I made steaks and mashed potatoes for dinner."
Lute's voice asked from down the hall, and he felt an excited grin split across his features.
"Hell yeah!" he yelled, yanking Alistair with him as the radio demon grunted and was forced to follow. "Man, I fucking love your steak. You always do it the best. You did cook it medium rare, right?"
"Of course, sir,"
she replied as he and Alistair entered the room. The kitchen was simple and traditional, and with all the amenities. Oven, microwave, fridge, freezer, and everything else that would be expected. The room was tiled with a white and gold checkerboard pattern, marble counters, and a large pantry filled with food from all over the mortal world, both exotic and pedestrian. Adam grinned in excitement as Lute was moving about in a belly shirt and short shorts, and an apron that said, "Kiss the Cook" on it. She had two large, delicious-looking steaks and a searing pan in hand, and here, at home, her face had lost all the sternness and rigidity of expression she wore as the second-in-command of the Exorcist Legions. She was smiling, happy and carefree, relaxed in the company of the man she loved, though she looked a little less happy as her eyes settled on Alistair, who was staring at her wide-eyed.
"What are you looking at, demon?" she asked as she began to plate up the steaks and put a cover over them before walking to Adam's side, planting a kiss on her lover and commander's cheek.
I wasn't aware that your black and white face was a mask,"
the lanky demon said, looking her scantily clad form over with some shock. It made sense, though. Demons never saw exorcists off duty. How were they to know that Adam's glorious legion of warrior women were actually all smoking hot bad bitches under their uniforms? Though, to Adam, it didn't matter if they were in the uniform or out of it. They were still the most beautiful girls in heaven, as far as he was concerned.
"Yeah, mine too,"
Adam said, pulling his own helmet off. The radio demon looked even more surprised at his face and blinked as he took in Adam's shaggy stubble, spiky brown hair and golden eyes.
His usual smirk of confident satisfaction widened as the demon looked him over, up and down.
"Yeah, I'm hot, I know,"
the angel said, smirking. "If you say so," Alistair replied coolly, and the first man's smirk became a scowl. Before Adam could think of a smart reply, Lute cut in.
"Why did you bring him into the house, Adam?" she asked. "He's a demon. He doesn't belong in our home. I mean, look at him."
"Well, what else am I gonna do? Just have him sit outside and look condescending? Come on, babe, that's no fun. At least as long as he's inside, I can fuck with him,"
Adam said with a shrug. Her look of abject horror confused him for a moment. Then the first man frowned in irritation.
"Not like that! Fuck, first him, now you? Come on, Lute, you know me better than that."
Lute looked away and suppressed a grin.
"Well, there was that one New Year's Eve party where you called Peter a..."
"Hey, hey! We agreed never to bring that up again. I was drunk as fuck. I don't even remember that night."
"Well, still, he's a demon. This is heaven. He doesn't belong here." "What, do you want me to cook him a steak too?"
she asked, mostly joking.
"If the main dish to a meal is meat, I prefer it to be as close to raw as possible,"
Alistair chimed in.
"I'm not cooking for him," Lute said, crossing her arms and frowning at the radio demon.
But Alistair only shrugged.
"I can cook for myself, you understand. It's actually one of my hobbies, believe it or not. My tastes are very refined and particular."
Adam looked at him with mild disgust.
"How do you manage to make everything you say sound so arrogant and obnoxious?"
he asked, but Alistair seemed to take the question as rhetorical and didn't bother to reply. Lute went to the stove, where there was a pot boiling, and grinned, grabbing a masher out of one of the white cabinets above her, and retrieving butter, milk, garlic, salt, and hefting the pot towards the sink for draining.
"The mashed potatoes will be done soon, and then it'll be time for dinner."
"Sweet," Adam said. "I'm gonna go to the living room and get comfy. Bring it out when it's done."
"Of course, sir."
"Lute, how many times do I have to remind you not to call me that at home? I'm Adam here. I mean, we're a couple, for fuck's sakes."
He chided her playfully. Lute smiled sheepishly.
"Sorry,"
she said, but Adam only laughed.
"It's fine, Lute. I think it's cute, but come on, you gotta relax a little bit every now and then."
"I am relaxed, sir. I mean, Adam."
She blushed, but Adam only grinned and rolled his eyes before he and Alistair left her to finish up with dinner. He went into his living room, a large open room with a massive 72-inch plasma screen on the far wall. It had a large white leather sofa, a lazy boy off to the side, a coffee table in front of the seats with a landline phone and a couple dozen copies of magazines on it, like Playboy and Hustler, and finally, in between the two seating fixtures was a mini-fridge. A soft, fluffy carpet on the floor completed the cozy design flawlessly. Adam sighed and sat down into his couch, visibly relaxing. The first man put his feet up on the ottoman, while the radio demon stood to the side, awkwardly. There was a long pause until finally Adam motioned for him to sit, and he did.
"So, how did you meet her?"
He'd put off the question for a while, but eventually he couldn't help but ask. Alistair had been with Lilith in Hell, known her very closely, and been around here maybe for years. And despite how much Adam despised her, he just wanted to know what she'd done, how far she'd fallen, who she really was, and this creepy little old-timey weirdo was his best chance for an answer. Alistair didn't meet his eyes, fidgeting nervously, and his eternal smile seemed to waver for a moment.
"I don't know who you..." "Don't give me that shit," he snapped. "Lilith! How did you meet Lilith?"
The skinny demon sighed.
It's a long story that I do not want to tell, especially not to you.
Why not? Adam asked.
Why not? Oh, let me see. You wounded me within an inch of my life, dragged me to heaven against my will, treated me like a means to an end, and now you're just keeping me here to get back at that monster wearing the skin of a woman. Just because we both hate Lilith does not make us friends, First Man.
Well, then, you'll what? Order me to open up to you and tell you all the horrific things she did to me and everyone else she crosses paths with? Or what? You'll kill me? Hurt me? How do you know I'd even tell you the truth? Besides, without my powers, without my freedom, I'd rather be dead anyway.
There was another uncomfortable silence.
Fine, Adam finally said. I guess we'll just go with Plan B.
Alistair looked at him.
Plan B? What? Hey!
Adam grabbed the radio demon roughly by the collar and yanked him closer, petting at his ears with a cruel smirk on his face. If he wouldn't give Adam what he wanted, treating him like an actual bratty pet was the next best thing. Every impotent little growl and protest he made only made it more amusing.
If you won't play nice, I guess I really will just treat you like a pet. Why?
The radio demon wailed hopelessly.
Because it's funny.
The First Man held him fast and began to stroke his ears. Alistair stiffened, and the deer ears on top of his head reflexively flattened against his skull as Adam scratched behind them.
Holy shit, these are real? I figure that you just did your hair up weird. Oh man, that's priceless. Stop it!
Alistair whined.
They're very sensitive. You can't just...
The angel's grin widened as the radio demon squirmed and his leg began to shake like a dog when you scratch that special spot. Adam had the deer demon pulled face down over his lap, forcibly holding him still while he toyed with him, when Luke came into the room with two plates of mashed potatoes and steak, which had Adam's mouth watering in moments. However, his lieutenant looked more than a little put off and raised her lip in disgust.
What are you doing?
She asked, and Adam only laughed as Alistair groaned and muttered curses and insults grumpily while unconsciously leaning into the scratches.
He likes it when you scratch him behind the ears,
Adam said excitedly, his tone slightly hushed, as if he were petting a real deer and didn't want to spook it.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
His captive grumbled, but Adam ignored him. Finally, he stopped the scratches to grab his dinner and turn on the TV, and Lute took her seat with her own plate beside Adam. Alistair jerked upward the moment that he was let go and tried to punch Adam in the face, but his fist stopped right before the moment of impact. He tried a few more times before Lute laughing at him made him roar in frustration. Seething, he moved as far down the couch from the angels as he could, face red with humiliation.
Yeah, the collar won't let you hurt me either. You can't hurt anyone, actually. It basically forces little demons like you to play nice,
Adam explained. As he took his first bite of steak, he turned on the TV and flipped channels until he settled on watching Transformers.
Fucking love these movies,
Adam said through a mouthful of steak as Lute calmly ate next to him, seemingly just happy to see him happy. She pulled a beer out of his mini-fridge and Adam took it gratefully, leaning over to kiss her, leaving a stain of steak sauce on her upper lip.
Is the steak good, sir?
She asked hopefully, and the First Man grinned.
It's fucking awesome, Lute. Delicious as always,
he said. The exorcist beamed with pride and leaned into him, resting her head on his shoulder as Adam laughed and whooped, pointing at the TV screen every time something funny or particularly intense happened. Lute watched the movie too, laying a hand across the first man's chest and stretching her wings out to rest over the back of the couch with Adam's. A smoking hot girl who loved him, everything he ever wanted at the snap of his fingers, and now a sulky little demon to mock and mess with all day long. Adam was just thinking that life in heaven really was completely perfect when the phone rang. He leaned forward and picked it up, pressing the answer button and nestling it under his ear and shoulder while he continued to eat his dinner.
"Yo,"
he replied casually. "Adam, I have bad news," the person on the other end said softly. He recognized the voice. It was Clitorissa, one of his sergeants.
"Hey, babe. What's up? You and the girls enjoying your off time? Did you tell the Archangels about that bitch Lilith skipping realms down to hell?"
"Yeah, sir, about that. There's been some developments,"
she said, her tone somber and severe.
"You sound upset. What's wrong?"
Adam asked.
"When I went down to the Archangel's Hall, I overheard a meeting and, well, the exterminations," she said, trailing off.
"What about 'em?"
Adam asked, setting his food down on the table to take a sip of beer.
"They've been canceled."
In that moment, the delicious steak, savory mashed potatoes, satisfaction of teasing Alistair, and the awesome movie he was watching became nothing but background noise to a blinding and all-encompassing outrage as he spit his drink violently out of his mouth.
"They've been what?"